Tonight, Sasha Banks and Naomi walk out on WWE as TV is going to air. Was it the right decision for the business, for them, or neither? Stephanie McMahon is also taking some time away from WWE, but says she's coming back. With new network ownership and, quote, billions in cuts coming, is the TV rights bubble coming to a burst? And if so, what does this mean for AEW? Ric Flair has confirmed he will wrestle one last match, but one potential opponent has already said no thank you. And WWE's UK Premium Live event sets a record for highest event ticket prices ever. Will they sell out their first stadium show in the UK in decades, though? We'll find out the answer to that and a lot more tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Hey, it's Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event. On the road again, this time in Toronto, the home of SNME Radio. And I mean that in more ways than one. You'll find out what that means in just a bit. Tonight, as always, we're powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. When I say the home of SNME Radio, I may actually be in the home of Jason Agnew. Legit. We're going to talk about that, as well as some of the fun we've been having here in Toronto. But of course, you can hear us across Canada on the TSN Radio Network, the News Talk and iHeart Radio Talk Networks, or online at snmeradio.com. We also have exclusive bonus shows, extended versions of this show, interviews, and daily content that comes out every single day through our Patreon podcast feed, patreon.com/snmeradio, or you can get it for free as well at snmeradio.com. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is standing by. We have Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly going to talk about contracts in wrestling, and a very special guest by the time this show is done coming up. But first, we got to get down to the headlines of the week. It's time for this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
TMZ, Entertainment Tonight, Sports Illustrated, entertainment outlets everywhere. We're picking up the story of Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out on Raw together as the show was about to go on air. Now, WWE immediately sent out a news release. Also had segments in Raw featuring Becky Lynch and Adam Pearce, Corey Graves making comments about it numerous times on Raw, and Michael Cole brought the announcement to SmackDown that the two were indefinitely suspended. Now, WWE was citing that Naomi and Sasha were being, quote, uncomfortable working with two of the talents in the scheduled six-pack, which led speculation of Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop. Since then, though, someone on Twitter claiming to be close to Naomi and having permission to tell the story says that both were going to be involved in the finish of the match. Naomi was going to face Bianca Belair, and Sasha would end up facing Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell, with both tag team champions losing to the respective champions. Once again, the two are on indefinite suspension. We'll get more details from Dave Meltzer on this in just a few minutes. The Ric Flair comeback match has been confirmed. Ric Flair will be making a return to the ring July 31st, the Nashville Fairgrounds, the day after SummerSlam, which is also in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. The show is being billed as presented by Jim Crockett Promotions, which Flair's son-in-law and podcast producer Conrad Thompson owns the rights to. Now, originally it was speculated that Ricky Steamboat may be facing Nate on the other side of the ring in some sort of six-man tag match. Now we know for sure that Ricky is out after he made a public statement. Names like FTR, the Rock and Roll Express are also tossed in the mix for whatever Ric Flair's last match is going to be. Stephanie McMahon is officially stepping out on a personal leave of absence. While she said in a statement she was happy to be returning to WWE at some point, she was taking time to focus on family. Now, of course, her husband, Triple H, Paul Levesque, also WWE executive, has been taking a lot of time off. He went through some incredible life-threatening medical challenges of his own. So it's hard to say if this is anything more than just a personal leave. But again, Meltzer's got the details for us coming up in just a few minutes. Taking me back to memories of the old black and gold NXT, there's an interesting interview with William Regal on Rene Paquette's podcast, The Sessions, where he talks about how he was all ready to go with whatever changes were coming to NXT's way, including rebranding, including going along with superstars like Bron Breakker. But in the end, he said he saw his end in NXT coming and couldn't be happier to be with Moxley, Danielson, Wheeler Yuta, and all the characters in AEW. Regal also says that despite being the person that everybody turns to for advice, he still hasn't stopped learning when it comes to new things, even citing Johnny Gargano as someone who taught him a new trick in the ring and working with the crowd. So good to see Regal is still very much engaged in everything. And this is a very interesting item to come out of the TV network Upfronts, which is a huge presentation that happens every year where networks pitch their shows, their upcoming seasons, and all their content. WWE was, of course, in the forefront for Fox as well as USA Network. But over on the TNT and Warner Discovery side, things were a little different. AEW did get some mention, but not as much as people were expecting. Also, one of the big executives made mention of billions in cuts that were going to be happening over the next year to supplement the costs. So, what does this mean for AEW? It won't mean much for the show itself, as that is still funded by Tony Khan. However, it may affect how much money AEW gets back for TV rights, which we know is the big way that wrestling companies are now making money. WWE is in the billions. AEW, not quite there yet. What does the future hold for AEW? One guy's going to help us pick all this apart, including all the controversy with Naomi and Sasha and a bunch more. Dave Meltzer and I, we're going to talk numbers, what's best for business, and more. Plus, a very special guest by the time this show is done. Coming up on Sunday night's main event.
He's a man. Such a man.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Holy Lord, what is happening? We call this episode WW Exit because it seems to be in the last few months we've seen this quite a bit. But now, Sasha Banks, Naomi, out the door. They're done. It looks like there's going to be no coming back. I'm sure this will be.
There's always coming back.
Well, I get that. But I mean, right now it's looking very much like that's not going to be the case. But what have you heard? I mean, let's talk about it in detail here. There's an interesting story that just came out with someone saying they were allowed to give Sasha and Naomi's point of view. But let's get down to what happened on Monday and how it went down versus the story that's out there right now.
I mean, the story's kind of out. I mean, it was like they complained to Vince about the creative. They were not happy about going to the Chicago pay-per-view and wrestling Bianca Belair and Ronda Rousey and each losing, you know, and then picking up the tag team titles, I guess, when WWE would get his challengers ready. The last challengers were Shayna Baszler and Natalya. They blew them off on TV in the SmackDown match last week. So it was kind of like, They had nobody else ready, so they went in this direction with them, and they decided that they didn't want to go in that direction. And during the show, they walked out and dropped the belts, gave them to John Laurinaitis, and said they were leaving. And WWE buried him on the air, and WWE buried him in a press release as quick as they could, and buried him on the air again last night. So I can sympathize to a degree with WWE's position on it. I also think that them burying him, the nature that they do, shows. I've seen it so many times with so many companies over the years, you know, where you do that and then they come back, they lose a little bit of their luster. I mean, Austin did. Austin didn't mean as much when he came back after they buried him. I mean, years later, it probably didn't matter. But the first, when he first came back, you know, it tells me they kind of learned nothing from the Austin thing. And like saying, we're never going to do business with, they always end up doing business. I don't think you can really burn a bridge with Vince if you have talent. Now, there are untalented people who did things and Vince never took them back. They were untalented. And perhaps you could almost say Punk as the exception, because I do know that they probably, you know, Fox really wanted him to bring back Punk. And they really, you know, they kept, you know, him and Hahn finally saying he's not worth it because he's asking for too much money. Right. But, you know, I mean, like with Brett, I mean, he spent 10 years trying to get Brett back. And the Austin thing, you know, a year later, he was back. So Sasha's young. She's super talented. So it wouldn't shock me to see her back. But, you know, it also is the second time she walked out, which, you know, the first time there's always the forgiveness. The second time it's a lot harder. It would be harder for them to put her in a top position now. And, you know, who knows? I mean, now the problem now for both of them is that will they release them and then they could go somewhere else, or will they freeze them on their contract while suspending them? And at some point you have to release them. But that's the next question is what exactly are they going to do? We'll see.
And what's the status then of someone who is under a frozen contract? We heard this happen once to Rey Mysterio a while back.
Well, there's a FTR, Rey Mysterio, right. Bryan Danielson for years. Bryan Danielson's the poster boy for the frozen contract. He had a 3-year deal that lasted, I believe, almost 7 years because they froze him for so long. And he, for that entire time, wanted to wrestle and couldn't get out. And I mean, he was devising ideas on how to get out.
So during that time, though, they must have booked a separate contract then for his TV appearances, or how did that work then? Because he was still on TV.
When he came back to TV, that's when the clock ticked again.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com, about Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out of WWE. Now, we've heard a lot of story and speculation about the perception of these two backstage, how Sasha, like you said, has a bit of a perception of being a little spoiled because she's done this before. And she'll do it again. We also know that her and Stone Cold Steve Austin, though, are pretty good friends. Do you think there was any maybe influence from his decisions in this? Or do you think this?
Well, he would have probably told her. I'm going to guess he would have told her to work out your contract and then go. I mean, the smartest way to do this is what Moxley did. Moxley, you know, he wanted out.
Yeah.
He told him, I'm leaving at the end of my contract. They offered him all kinds of money to stay. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the contract was over, and, you know, the way they pushed his exit, I was going like, he didn't leave, and they never let a guy do this. But the whole thing was they were kissing his ass because they didn't want him to leave. And then he left. But, you know, and there's no non-compete and there's no nothing that they can do. And if you really want out, that's what you should do, is just go until the end of your contract and then you're free to go. And they got no rights to you. When you do it this way, you know, then you start getting into this area with the freezing of the contracts. And in their case, you know, they really put the screws to them by pulling their merchandise. Even though they wouldn't have made their wrestling money, right, they could have made merch, especially with Sasha. She could have made merch money, which is at least, you know, it's a, she makes, you know, she sells merch. So she'd have been okay. I mean, they didn't want that. Like, they were really being, you know, it's almost cutting their own nose to spite their face. WWE makes more money than Sasha Banks on that merchandise. And them pulling it tells you that we want to hurt her more than we want to help ourselves. That was the decision. We want to make an example. And obviously that's what they did. You know, of all of you people who think about, like, you know, pulling this, this is the example. It's going to scare the talent. It just will. And it's just, it's the nature of the beast. As far as, like, were they wrong to suspend them? No. You know, if it was a different situation, I mean, they walked out on a live TV. That's where even Austin walked out the morning of a TV, and Austin regretted it. Not that his reasons were wrong. I don't know. I've never spoken to him at length about his reasons. I take that back. I did at the time. And at the time, I was fully behind his reasons. And to this day, I'm fully behind his reason. But he will say that he never should have walked out in that way. He should have tried to work it out. They did try to work it out. They had a meeting with Vince there. They thought it was okay. Then it wasn't. And then they walked out.
Well, the story coming out of their side, and this was again from someone on Twitter who says that they have the story and the permission from either Naomi or...
Oh, yeah, they want their story out.
Yeah, yeah. And Naomi apparently follows this person, so they know each other. The story is that they actually had two meetings with Vince, and one of them involved a producer screaming from the room. You know, there's no exact quotes, obviously, but this is kind of the gist of it, and how they tried numerous times to remedy the situation. And there are going to be people that say, you can't sympathize with the company on this. They're billionaires and they got all this, but you have a job to do, right? Like, there's some people that are saying that maybe they're taking their characters too seriously. Is that such a thing? Can you take your character too seriously?
Well, you know, it's funny. You have to protect your character because they won't protect it for you. I mean, that's the Brett thing. You know, I used to always hate, because it was always the big knock on Brett. Brett takes it so seriously. And it's like, if Brett didn't take it seriously, he'd have been a mid-card guy. The reason he got over was because everyone knew he took it seriously. Mm-hmm. When he, you know, and it's the same with Ric Flair or any of them. If they didn't take themselves seriously, they'd be mid-card guys. The guys who are top guys take themselves very seriously. And that's why they're top guys, because they speak with conviction about what they do and they perform at a different level because they take it really seriously. Shawn Michaels took himself Brett, the Mark man, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
You know, Shawn walked out on doing jobs too and got away with it. You know, Shawn took himself seriously, and that's why Shawn was an all-time great. You know, I don't think that you can be an all-time great in this business. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, every one of them took themselves very seriously.
But that was a different era of wrestling, too. I mean, you could argue this anyways. The fact that when the press release came out during Raw,
yes,
and they went as far as to say, you know, Monday Night Raw is a scripted weekly television show. The contractors have to perform to their duties. All these words are being tossed out that made the Vince good guys and bad guys speech from the 90s seem like child's play compared to exposing the business. And I know we already.
Yeah, but that's everyone play. Knows that anyway. That's that, like the thing with that is like I was surprised they rushed that out, too. I mean, yeah. It's like that was like within an hour of them walking out. I mean, I remember they walked out and they said it on TV. I remember
Becky said it. Then the announcer said it a couple times. It was all
right,
over the place.
I got a call from them. They went out of their way to make sure that people like me had it. They didn't wait for Raw to end and then call me. I mean, Raw was going on and I'm getting this thing, and they didn't wait for Raw to end to send out that release. They wanted that release out immediately. In some ways, maybe the wording wasn't perfect because they rushed it. You know, I mean, it was right. It was totally rushed.
And that might explain this next question then, because there's people that are saying, oh, this is all a work.
Well, it's not a work. It's 100% not a work.
And the question is that why did they not use the performer's real names? Why was it just Sasha?
Because it was probably rushed out more than anything else. And you know, whatever, maybe, you know, if they had five more minutes, maybe they would have thrown the real names in. But like I said,
there's been releases. They always include the real name of the performer.
A lot of the times, not always, but a lot of the times. Yeah, I would bet you that if they waited until the next morning, they'd have had their real names, but they didn't. They wanted this thing out as quickly as possible. And to the people who would be reading the release, they don't know their real names anyway. So why not just use the stage names?
Right. So we go from the women's tag team champions walking out on WWE. This story is still developing. Again, their side is going to come out however it can, because I'm sure they're under gag orders with their contracts. And the more they mess with legalities, the more they can be hit with punishment. But on the other side of the fence now, WWE and AEW both had their television up front this week with the network. And for those that don't understand what these are, this is basically where the networks line up their seasons in front of advertisers to show what's going to be on each network. WWE had a very strong presence, I understand, with Fox and USA again this year. But there's a lot of talk about the lack of presence that AEW had when it came to Turner and Warner. So I guess the question there is, you know, I brought this up a few weeks ago. Could this be a WCW situation all over again where the network isn't going to be as interested moving forward with wrestling?
Whenever you have new ownership, things that were greenlit from the old ownership are always in jeopardy. You know, I mean, people were telling me, look at their ratings, and it's like, we've all seen situations in local media where there's a local anchorman, just as an example, who is the most popular anchorman in the market.
Right.
And then new owners come in with the station and they fly in a guy from Detroit who's their guy. And this guy's gone, even though he's tops in the ratings. This happens all the time. That's the television business. There are no guarantees. I've told people when this thing went down and they're going like, oh, you know, you're fear mongering and all this. It's like, no, there are no guarantees. Like, just because your ratings are good doesn't guarantee that they may have some idea that they want. Now, they did feature it as far as like, you know, on the big shows for each night of the week on the entire network, which is True TV and TBS, TNT. And for Wednesday, they did feature AEW as that number one show on Wednesday. And they didn't feature Major League Baseball and they didn't feature the NHL, although they did it in a later sports presentation where they didn't feature AEW. But it's they weren't dissed, but it was not what I had been led to believe. But of course, what I've been led to believe, and I think maybe I mentioned it here, it changed every week. It changed. You know what I mean? And it's like originally it was going to be big push. Then it was like going to be no push at all. Then it was going to be kind of big push and ended up being kind of small push. So it changed. But those decisions were made by the new company. And the fact that it went from kind of big push to kind of small push, I mean, you can't look at that and go, OK, it was not a great vote of confidence. And, you know, I mean, that's just the reality of it. It wasn't. It was, you know, they should have had, whether it's Chris Jericho or Paul White or Punk or whoever, they should have had someone there that morning and then flown them to Houston for the TV if need be. Or, you know, just there's always someone that you can that you don't need on television that week. You know, there should have been somebody taking pictures with Wayne Gretzky and everybody. Yeah,
nobody there. And also the statement that came out from the Warner Discovery president or CEO, I can't remember who it was exactly, but hundreds of millions of cuts.
$3 billion in cuts. That's a lot of cuts. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is AEW considered a new scripted program?
No.
Monday Night Raw sure is now. We know that for sure.
No, it's not considered scripted programming. So I don't think it's in danger in that realm. But what is, and to me, like the thing that people are missing, it's not if they keep AEW. I mean, obviously, if they drop AEW, it's terrible for them. But, you know, maybe AEW gets a new home. Probably they will, because their ratings are very good. But the point is that it's about competition in this marketplace. And if AEW gets no backing from its network, they will, no matter how good their booking may or may not be, they will end up at the level of TNA. If they get backing from the network, competitive money and things like that, they will end up being very competitive with WWE because they already are. So
that's the with the TV rights is the big question. Then are they going to still get the same kind of money that
that's the unanswered question. We don't know. I mean, that's something that we'll probably start figuring out at the end of this year, or maybe early next year. But yes, that is the question. And this thing that just happened is not like a positive momentum sign for sure. The big backers, you know, Bret Weitz and Kevin Riley, I mean, they're both gone. There's other people in the company that are big AEW backers who don't know if they have a job or not, you know, going forward. And if they're gone, you know, when New Japan was on Access the previous time, when they, you know, had Okada and the Young Bucks and those guys, right, it was the second most popular show on the network. And you're going like, they're not going to cut the most popular show on the network. And then all of a sudden, everyone who I knew, they were all gone. And then the next thing you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling and the Friday Night MMA shows, and those were the two most popular shows on the entire station. So it was the new management got rid of the people who were behind the two biggest shows and got rid of the two biggest shows. It's a smaller station. It's a smaller network. You can never rule things out when there's an ownership change.
Last thing with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, Ric Flair came out and publicly announced the match is happening. It's going to be happening at StarCast 5. So it is a Conrad Thompson production. Ricky Steamboat came out and said he's not going to do the match. So do we know who's going to be on the other side of the ring?
No, not at all.
And is there a chance he could still walk from this thing, or is it too late now? Is Flair all Rick? In?
I think Rick's going to, unless he gets hurt in training, I think Rick will do it. Yeah. And even if he gets hurt in training, he'll probably do it. I think Rick wants to wrestle. You know, there's a million different ways to look at this one. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, there's, you know, in one sense, the fact, I mean, throw out all of the personal stuff with Rick. Okay. The idea that he nearly died, had to relearn to walk, had to relearn to talk, had to regain his memory. and can come back and do a pro wrestling match, if he can do a match at any kind of a level, that's a, you know, at 73 years old, that's a kind of a cool story. On the flip side, the idea of, you know, 73 year old Ric Flair wrestling is kind of, you know what I mean? Even though Lawler does it and there's guys in Japan who do it and Jimmy Valiant's out there, you know, at almost 80, you know, it's, I think people want to remember Ric Flair, you know, in a certain way, and seeing him in that sense is not necessarily what they would want. So you've got those two things, then you got the personal thing. And then,
right.
And, you know, there's a million different ways to look at it. I mean, it's like, I don't want him to get hurt. I, you know, I just saw something that he said where he said that, like, you know, he talked to a bunch of doctors and he listened to the one, and not just the one that he trusted the most, who said, you can do it. So that sort of told me, he talked to some doctors, say you can't do it. So now it's just like you're picking doctors, which a lot of wrestlers do. I mean, I know wrestlers, you know, the doctor shopping where this guy won't clear me and this guy won't clear me, and until you find a guy who clears you, and then you get cleared and then you do it. I mean, that was apparent. I mean, that was Steve Austin, you know, after the pile driver. You know, there were many doctors who told him, you know, never to wrestle again. He came back, wrestled again, was okay. You know, Danielson got cleared by multiple doctors before, but at that point, you know, he had to wait for the WWE doctor to clear him. So, you know,
well, for his sake, I hope we get Ric Flair and not Randy the Ram.
Well,
I mean, so I mean,
well, I hope, you know, that's a, you know, look, he hasn't been in the ring in, what is it, 11 years? Mm-hmm. That's a long time at that age, you know, since, you know, and at the end, I mean, the last, what I would call really cool Ric Flair match I saw was Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair in Australia. The first night, though, they had some rematches that weren't as good because Hogan blew out his hip the first night in.
Well, we will see what happens. And of course, as we get closer to Double or Nothing, we'll talk more about that next time with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, thank you as always, sir.
Okay, have a great week.
Coming up next, Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly joins me to talk about contract news in pro wrestling. Is this something we should know more about as regular fans, or should it be saved for shows like this? That and a special surprise for you right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Mike McGuire here on a rainy weekend in Toronto, Ontario, or at least kind of drizzly, I guess, gray, if you would, as the on-the-road edition of Sunday Night's Main Event comes to you from the home of Sunday Night's Main Event. Literally, the home of Sunday Night's Main Event, broadcasting out of Casa de Agnew. Jason is off doing Jason Agnew things right now, but I might try and ambush him here before the show is done to get him to make an appearance on his baby. But in the meantime, Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly is joining us. How are you, Joe?
Hey, man. How's it going?
We shook hands. We pressed flesh last night, if you would.
Yes, we did. You heard me sing, which is like kind of weird.
Amazing. Did some Goo Goo Dolls. Do you always go for the sappy love songs, or...?
It was either that or Backstreet Boys, but I kind of thought I'd go with Iris.
I still say you should have gone for the Backstreet Boys. I would have backed you up on that. But yeah, the entire SNME crew got together. Joe was like the person that got control of the social media for an hour, and just like everything we did, you were posting. It was quite hilarious, which is also why I didn't go up and sing. I wanted to be perfectly clear. I'm like, nope, I don't trust Joe. That's exactly why I don't trust Joe. Joe, I want to talk about this today. It is all over the news, of course, that Naomi Sasha Banks now indefinitely suspended after walking out from Monday Night Raw. We know there's different sides of the story. They're saying that they were given bad creative. WWE saying, good or bad, kid, that's your job. It's kind of hard to really pick a side on this, but I wanted to ask you today as the fan, I have my thoughts on it as well. But when you hear contract talks in pro wrestling, when you hear things like walkouts, when you hear suspensions, all these things, like back in the day, you never heard this stuff. It was all done behind the scenes. And if somebody did walk out, then you didn't talk about them. They didn't exist anymore. First time I remember seeing this on TV was when Gorilla Monsoon made the statement about the Ultimate Warrior not making appearances and making dates. Then, of course, we know one of the biggest ones, Stone Cold Steve Austin walking out, where they took kind of an approach that they're taking now with Sasha and Naomi. But this one, I mean, they went as far as to come out and say WWE is a scripted program. These contractual performers have obligations, which they did not meet, et cetera, et cetera. As a wrestling fan, now and maybe back then as well, does this ruin it for you? Or is this something you want more of, like a lot of sports fans who say, no, I fully invest in contract details. I want to know how much these performers are making. I want to know everything about them because they're my paid entertainment.
I mean, it is interesting to, okay, again, I'll just talk to my own opinion.
Yeah.
I find it interesting in passing, but honestly, I could care less about someone's contract. Someone's contract, that's your business or that's the performance business. Go do what you got to do. At the end of the day, I'm just the fan that wants to be entertained. So I'm not saying I'm not fascinated by a lot of the Sasha Naomi thing, for example, or that I wasn't fascinated by the Austin thing or the Ultimate Warrior thing back in the day. But honestly, as a fan, I really could care less. Like, you know, I'm watching the wrestling show and that's really all I'm concerned about. I think what bothers me more than anything when it comes to contract talks and stuff, and I'm not against anyone into that stuff, but sometimes the fan and the tribalism that can happen with the fan base, that's what really gets me going. Like when I see, you know, people taking shots at Sasha or taking shots at the WWE without knowing the full story, I think that bothers me more than anything. But at the end of the day, yeah, personally, I don't care about the contract talk. It's nice. It's interesting. It's something to talk about on a podcast, but you know, it's not anything that I'm basing any sort of enjoyment of my wrestling from.
Now on the flip, we're here on TSN Radio. We're broadcasting across the country on News Talk Radio. Like shows like this, like if we were doing an NHL show or if we were doing an NFL show or talking about Major League Baseball, this would be regular daily content, especially as new seasons come up, as new signings, drafts, you name it. All that comes out immediately and it's just part of day to day. So is this, do you feel maybe a sports influence like from a Nick Khan saying, yeah, we should go public with this. We should do something to make us sound like a legitimate organization, separating ourselves from the entertainment side, or should we, or do you think, I mean, ultimately this has to be a Vince McMahon call, but who do you think finally said, you know what, this is a good idea for us. We should go as public as we can with this without saying how much money they're making. They've basically said everything else about the wrestling business, including the fact that Monday Night Raw is a weekly scripted show. If I'm watching that on TV and I'm watching Michael Cole in his serious, somebody just got really hurt in the ring voice, talking about how Sasha and Naomi have walked out and disappointed millions of fans, I don't know if that really belongs on the TV though.
I agree because I think that, like, you know, it's like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So you don't hear, but think about it. You don't hear very many sports teams airing out their dirty laundry. Yes.
There's a term called inside baseball.
Yeah.
If it's too inside baseball, it's when you have, like we were, Jason, Boris and I were at the Jays game yesterday and Jason and Boris are talking about all these things with their stats and everything else. I'm like, are we winning or losing? You know, like, are we doing a good thing or not? But to your point, going inside here, what do you think?
I think it's a balance because as a fan, I could care less. But as a podcaster, as someone who covers some of this stuff, who's interested in some of this stuff, I understand where you're coming from with regards to talking about contracts and all that. All that
take away from the show for you, though, I guess, is the bigger question.
Yeah. So here's what I'm getting at on a show like a talk show. Cool. I'm good to talk about this stuff. But if I'm watching the NBA, for example, and over the action, they're talking about, you know, Ben Simmons's contract issue. No, man, concentrate on the game. That's sort of what I'm getting at. So when Michael Cole mentioned, you know, it was one thing to say we're disappointed that Sasha and Naomi aren't here. Cool. But if you start like breaking them down and sort of talking down on them, especially, and, you know, given the time period that we're in, two women of color, and you're going to start like, you know, oh, they're a disappointment and they're this and they're that. I think a lot of people will take that the wrong way. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think people will take that the wrong way. I don't think it's on air is not the right time to do that.
I don't mean to sound insensitive. I don't know if I'm on board with the race line in this. I mean, they are profoundly popular performers. Mm-hmm. They are superstars. You know, Steve Austin, you couldn't make the same argument for, but he did the same thing and they did the same thing to him. I can see where you're saying time sensitivity, but I think what it comes down to more is what you mentioned with the nature of the show. So again, I didn't hear the commentary from the ball game we were at yesterday, but I know if I turn on a Jays game today, or if I turn on something on TSN and I'm watching and I say, hey, this is great, I'm enjoying the game, I want the drama of what's on the screen being told to me. I want what an amazing play, which player's chipping at the other player. These are the stories that you tell when you're doing a televised broadcast of your event. You don't go into, like you said, you don't want to hear about contract disputes and why they might be playing a certain way versus another, because it doesn't belong there.
Well, and not only that, but let's use the Austin example. When The Rock came out and cut that promo about, you know, dropping your ball and going home, it's like, right, like, do we really need
taking
that?
Your ball,
like,
dropping your ball, yeah, is a different thing.
Right, sorry. But taking your ball and going home, but like, it was like, I don't need to see that. I don't need to hear The Rock taking a shot at Austin, at least in real life. Like, that to me is behind the scenes stuff,
yeah,
that you take care of behind the scenes. Now, again, I'm okay with them saying Sasha and Naomi were supposed to be here, but they didn't come. But to have the unprofessional this, and, you know, it's a scripted show, that to me takes you out of the show.
The press release, sure, was a little excessive. Yes, but the press release, fine, because that can make the entertainment papers. We've seen it all over entertainment sites. TMZ got a hold of everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't belong on the show.
Exactly.
I think yeah, we're in agreement there. Let us know what you think on the SNME social media feeds at SNME Radio, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us there on the post for this week's show as well. And let us know your thoughts. Is it a good thing or not? And we'll talk more about this next week as this story shakes out a little bit. Of course, you're getting ready for Double or Nothing as one of our All Elite Weekly columnists, reporters. I don't know what we're calling you, but you're Joe. You're with Mouth. Mouth, by the way, also sang his face off last night at karaoke, which there might be some more. I might have some close-up photos of that coming up.
He really leaned into that.
Oh, dude. Anyway, you can catch Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo, All Elite Weekly, on the SNME Radio podcast feed through our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio. Joe, thank you very much for your time today, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we're going to wrap this thing up as I broadcast from the basement of Jason Agnew. Will he make a sighting? We'll find out next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
We're back on Sunday Night's Main Event. Let me give myself a little more. A little more juice. There we go. We're back on Sunday Night's Main Event. It's Mike McGuire here on the road as we've been doing this for the last couple weeks here. And this time it's actually working. So thank you for being here with us. It couldn't possibly be working any better, I think, due to the fact of where we are located today. Last time I was by my, where was I last time? I think I was somewhere in Manitoba or northwestern Ontario, but now I am literally in the home of Sunday night's main event with the Godfather himself, Jason Agnew.
I am here. Yeah, you have taken over my desk and are recording in the original place where this thing was done.
I'm taking over your desk. I've taken over your basement. Like, I might not leave.
Well, you know, hey, you end up in Ontario. You leave Saskatchewan and end up in Ontario. A lot of people don't leave. I get it.
Well, it goes both ways sometimes. But either way, it's been great here. We spent the weekend together. We went to a Jays game. Jays had a big win. You and Boris Aguilar were talking all about baseball. I was looking for footlong hot dogs and which jersey I was going to buy. But
and you did, and you made a great choice. You bought a Bo Bichette jersey, which was excellent. He actually hit two home runs at the game we were at, which is, you know, crazy for the Jays this year. You went away for half an hour, and that was three innings in the fastest game I've ever been to in my life.
It was shorter than an episode of Monday Night Raw.
It was, and far, far more entertaining.
And we're talking about baseball, where there's a lot of standing and a lot of waiting, but nevertheless, Jason, I wanted to bring you on, A, because obviously I'm in your house, but B, you know, folks have just been missing you, dude, and just wanted to get your thoughts on, oh, we're playing footsie almost. That's how close we are in the basement right now.
We are. This is how close we've become.
Yeah, this is literally the bonding experience. But for folks that have been missing the Agnew, of course, you're on our Patreon network, patreon.com/SNME Radio with the weekly trivia show. And as far as wrestling, you and I had a kind of a catch-up session on your, what is it, the pergola?
We didn't do a pergola pod, but we did have a barbecue and we chatted under the pergola. Yeah, I mean, as far as wrestling goes, I've definitely pulled away due to a bunch of stuff that has gone on in my life, which is everything timed out really nicely with you taking over and keeping up with everything. And I've definitely taken a step back to focus on trivia, what's happening with me, which has been rough for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'm going to go back to doing news. So it's a brief time away.
But when I gave you some of the updates as to what was going on in wrestling, your first reaction, we've talked about the Naomi thing, Stephanie McMahon taking time off, all the craziness in AEW. What are your takeaways? What are your curiosities about what's happening in wrestling right now?
I feel as though if I were to watch Raw this week, I wouldn't have missed a step. aside from perhaps, I see everything on all of my feeds, so I sort of kind of keep up. But I feel like the same programs are in place aside from, like, Edge's new faction is in place now, right?
Yeah.
Which was just starting when I kind of peeled away 2 months ago. But, I think the Naomi and Sasha stuff is pretty crazy. Is it a work? Is it not a work? Have we determined that as of yet?
According to Dave, it's 100% legit.
So. Yeah, well, Sasha's been troublesome since she got there. Let's face it, right? And I think she just took Naomi along for the ride. It's really funny, though, because Naomi's husband is Teflon. Like, this guy has drinking and driving charges against him, and he is not touched. Which is pure insanity at
numerous,
this point.
Numerous DUI charges.
It's just crazy, but it'll be very curious to see what plays out. I mean, listen, you know, we do a show like this because honestly, a lot of the time in WWE, the stuff behind the scenes can be more entertaining than what is going on camera. And that might be where we are right now when you're looking. So maybe we say thank you, Sasha, for giving us something entertaining.
Well, and that's the question I was going to have for you now. And yes, that is Jason Agnew you're hearing right here on Sunday night's main event. We are in his basement right now. I am taking you and the lady friend, the Swiss Chalet lady friend, to dinner later on. But the question that we just had with Joe Aguinaldo, and then I'm asking everybody, this contract talk and stuff making its way into the actual on-air show. Yes or no? What do you think?
That is really an interesting question because, you know, when we started doing live audio wrestling, when Jeff Merrick started it in 1997, I came aboard in 99. What brought me back into wrestling after watching it as a kid, taking a bit of a break and then coming back to it was the fact that, you know, the curtain was pulled, kayfabe was gone, and that was fascinating to me going between Raw and Nitro and people going back and forth, but it wasn't as much on screen. I mean, there was some of it that you saw because Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo like to do that. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I heard the Michael Cole voice with Sasha and Naomi and just calling out their own, not employees, contract workers right. on air is kind of crazy because you know when it comes down to it that if these two have created a stir and if there's money to be made and this turned into an angle, you know what's going to happen.
Well, we'll see what happens for sure. That is Jason Agnew. This is Sunday night's main event. Anything you'd like to say to the folks before we jam out on the broadcast version?
Guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening every week. Mike is doing one heck of a job with this show. Thanks for loving the crew and being here for the whole time that we've been doing this.
There it is right there. We will catch you next week right here on Sunday night's main event. Until then, thanks for listening. Let me do what I do. Play safe, drive safe, Abyssinia. And
don't you dare miss it.
Please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.